Hello, welcome back to the third and last part of this mini series inside of my entries and the Equa series. And I just wanted to kind of finish going off of the last subject we were just discussing, which is the interviews with Yukanchi Kausai. Today is January 11th. It is 8:56 in the morning. So I just want to note that also before we go ahead and get started. So I'm going to be talking about my final thoughts on Equa, this trip, any last words, and then also what's happening moving forward, like some pre-production stuff, like, well, I guess more like post, kind of in between, because I'm trying to now edit all of the footage, figure out how I want to put it together, how I want it to look, making sure that it's accessible in terms of language as well, not only in English but in Spanish, because I am now building a Spanish audience and I feels really not right to you know, exclude them from the conversation when I can just make it into Spanish as well. So I'm trying to think about all of these things and how long it's gonna take, how long I need to like plan for, like what I need to plan for. So it's you know, for me, it's a whole thing that I have to now think about. And I'm just trying to make sure that I do this in a way that feels not authentic. It feels authentic, but it also, it's past that. It's just like accurate and historically accurate and making sure that everything is cool. that's why I also, in the last episode, I also, you know, read a little bit from the book, because I just want to make sure that these are coming to you. Like, I'm going to try to share as much as I can. And if you guys do have questions, you can obviously always reach out. Yeah, so we're going to talk about all that stuff. I'm going to tell you guys what I'm going to be doing, what I am doing, what I'm working on. Now that I'm back from Ecuador and just figuring shit out. So anyways, so my final thoughts on Ecuador on my trip this time around. So this is the second time, I think I mentioned it. This is the second time I've gone to Ecuador by myself. The first time I went was when I was much younger, and it was definitely a different experience then as well. I think just in general, like things, you get older, things change, time changes things. so my mindset had just changed, I think, overall. So my dog is here now. I'm petting her. So if you guys hear like background noise, because I'm petting her. but yeah, so, you know, I think overall my trip was great. It was unexpected, I think is the right word, because even with Capagraimi, like I was totally not expecting to feel the way that I did. And I don't know if I shared it in that episode in the first one, but I just wanted to note as well that there was a moment where I had to go. I think I mentioned it. I'm not sure. I'm just going to tell it again. I was washing my feet, and I remember because we had just finished dancing and I went to go wash my feet. I was like, oh my God, like I gotta like wash myself. So I did. And I just remember that moment being really just very distinct for me. And it was, I feel like that's something I'm going to always remember Yeah. Like for forever. and I love the story, and I love, this is why I also really believe in the power of plant medicine as well, because I do believe that there is a lot that we don't know, that we don't fully understand, but our ancestors did. And I think that's also another thing I wanted to know as well, which I'll get to in just a second. Let me just write that down, because I'm gonna definitely forget. okay. So I, you know, I'm happy that I had that experience. I was washing my feet and it was right near the restrooms. Like it was just like a little like washer thing. It had like, there was like two bathrooms. It was interesting. And two showers as well, but they were outdoor showers. So it wasn't like there was anything to be like hidden behind, but I was just washing my feet. So, you know, I opened up on the wall. It had the, like you would a normal, like if you're trying to turn on the hose, like, you know, you have the little knob there. And so I turned it on, started washing my feet, and I was wearing my pollera at the time. Throughout the whole ceremony I wore my pollera, so it's not like I ever changed at any point. Towards the end I did, because after the temazcal I got into something warmer, but before then I ended up wearing the pollera. I was wearing it the whole time, so just for some background as well. I wore the pollera, and I just remember thinking, I had this really strange moment where I felt like it wasn't me who was living, like there was somebody else living through me, you know. And I just felt like looking through myself. You ever have those moments where everything just feels really surreal and you're really just looking at yourself like, oh my god, like this is me, like I had that moment, and it was very surreal, and it just felt really intense that I felt like I was somebody I had never met before, but I was also somebody that I knew was always there, existed. And it was weird to meet myself in that way. It was weird. It was so beautiful to meet my ancestors in that way, that I will say, because I felt like I was also experiencing like what my grandmother like would randomly be doing, right? Like they have those like your friend doing something random on a Tuesday, like that. It's just a random thing. It's just a thing that probably was done often, like just, you know, everyday casual doings of life. And it was just surreal. Like I was just washing my feet and looking at my pollera, and it was just moving. And I just remember like seeing the the embroidery also on the shirt, and I just kept thinking like this is crazy. This is me living somebody else's life, you know. And it was a beautiful experience. It really was. I felt like I could be my grandmother. I could be like either of my grandmothers, but specifically my grandma from my mom's side. Like I could be my grandma right now just doing this. Like this is what her life was like. And for a moment, it's like having a glimpse of the past and being able to experience it. Because also, mind you, we were like in the middle of a mountain and it's very secluded, but it was really beautiful, surrounded by mountains, and you could see the landscape. You could see everything. So, so gorgeous. The location was absolutely breathtaking. And yeah, and it just felt really incredible to have that moment with myself. So that was something I wanted to highlight, because I did feel like it was important if I didn't mention it the first time. The other part of what I was going to say before also was that something that my mom had actually mentioned to me yesterday when we were talking about the customs and the festivities and the celebrations. what I wanted to mention, I think the last entry, part two, I ended up saying that I wasn't sure like how much of what was being showcased, what we were participating in, is historically accurate. But my mom also made a note that I thought was interesting, and I wanted to put it in this entry. And it's that it's not what you would call it. it's that, so religion, Giliwak is a community that's inside of Kanyar. And it's actually really close to my grandma's smaller community as well, which is Nar. And yeah, so Kiliwak is pretty close, but it may be like a 10-minute drive at most. At most. And my mom mentioned that like religion did not, and the religion, the church, all of this stuff, like did not, organized religion did not intrude into Kiliwak as much as it did in other parts of Kanyar. And the people of Kiliwak were able to really preserve their traditions and preserve a lot more history because of that. There was not as much influence, if not at all, potentially, I guess. I'm not sure about that. But yeah, she told me that, and I thought that was very interesting, because Kiliwak, there seems to be a lot of people who are well educated that have come out of Kiliwak as well. A lot of professors, teachers, just a lot of programming happening within Kiliwak. And I think it's because it's been more preserved because there was less influence of the church. And I think that's really important to mention too. I've talked about it before. I think I've talked about it at one point, maybe not in the last two episodes, but the last two entries. But I did, oops, sorry guys. So I'm just trying to like turn on the fire, like the fire pit vibes in the background. That's what I had playing in the last two entries also, if you guys didn't know. Yeah, can you hear it? I don't know, I just like the fireplace vibes. I just feel like it makes everything so much better. Like I feel like I'm actually at a fireplace. Anyways, So, yeah, my mother said that, and I thought that was very interesting. I thought it was worth noting because I do think it's important for people to understand that religion has, it's the reason why I had this conversation actually with the first interviewee, Pachi, which is that, well, what was the conversation? That it's I feel like it's important to remember like just how influential religion has been in regards to dominating and ultimately forcing indigenous people to lose their identity because they deemed it as not as valuable and that it was honoring like the way that we lived and the way that we existed, the cosmovision. I think that's how you use it. I'm still trying to figure out more about the Indian cosmovision, but basically, in simpler terms, just the philosophy and the basis of life and the way that you live, how you live, how you interact with nature, how you interact with the animals, with everything that exists and comes from nature. How do we coincide with it? And it's pretty simple and straightforward, I think. But I think considering where we're at now, just I don't know. That's a whole other conversation. The reason why I bring it up is because we ended up having a discussion about Boyeras and how that has also evolved, and how the Chola Cuencana kind of seems more commercialized. And maybe like it was a way of also saying, like, you know what, you can be indigenous, like still maintain some of it, but like this is the best one to be, right? Like if you come to Cuenca, like you can be the Chola Cuencana. And I think I see it in some ways. Like I had that conversation before I went to Ecua, and then when I got there, I kind of thought about it for a second. I was like, actually, yeah, I can actually really see that now. You know, like people, like I feel like I had this conversation with my grandma as well. And I asked her, I said, why don't you wear your Cañari pollera? Like, you know, she's like, well, I don't live there anymore, so it doesn't make sense. But then I feel like because I like sparked her interest when we went to go get polleras for myself so that I could bring them here to the States, she ended up saying that she liked them, like she thought they were nice. So I'm gonna make an effort to get her one too, so she can also feel more connected to herself again. Because she has images also that I've posted on my Instagram. Sorry, my voice is cracking, but I posted on my Instagram the Amy J. Vele one, not the Cañari Archives one. I'm having such a hard time with that also because I feel like it just needs to be posted under me. Like, I don't know. But all right, whatever. That's a whole nother conversation for later down the line. But yeah, so I just very interesting. I want my grandma to go back to wearing her Cañari clothing because I do feel like that's where she's from, right? Like, why should she forget it? So I think the fact that I'm also doing this project is like striking interest in other people, whether it's good or bad. It's still striking conversation, and I think that's what I want. Like, I want there to be this conversation around wearing polleras, like a newer generation wearing polleras, you know, how we also have conversations with children, with our youth about our identity, where we stand, how to embrace ourselves, because it really is such a hard and difficult journey. And I think that it's important. And my uncle was saying this actually in Ecua too when I first got there. He was like, if you really think about it, in our family, there's only two people who still wear polleras, and that's my grandma. And then also my aunt. And then otherwise, who else is wearing a pollera? Nobody else. So if we don't also continue that, then it ends up just dying out. We have no more representation. But I think that there's a lot of modernization of the clothing as well. So that's a whole other conversation that we will have in its own separate entry, because it's one that I want to definitely talk about. And I bought a lot of boyeras with me this time, not a lot, but I did end up getting two, which one of them is from Bayet, is made in Bayeta, but I'm also not sure because she told me there was two different materials, and one of them, but yeah, I think it was Bayeta, and then the other one is a different material, similar but not the same, so I don't know. I'll have to ask. I gotta call her. I gotta hit her up through WhatsApp, but. Yeah, so that I think that's my other thing that I wanted to know about that first entry, and just kind of where I stand like with my post-Equa thoughts. But yeah, I'm glad I got to mention these two things, because I think the part about Giyuak being very well preserved in regards to other areas of Gagnaire where religion was heavily, people were heavily influenced by religion. And it was stated actually in that book that I mentioned before too, in the Quechua celebrations of Cotacachi, in Cotacachi. You know, that there was more indigenous people. There always was. There was always a majority indigenous people. There was less Spaniards, less conquerors in the land, but yet they held more weight. So, you know, I think there's a lot to say about using music as a way of resistance, which is what they said in Yukanchi Kausai's interviews. you know, using music as a way of resistance, but also using our clothing as a way of resistance as well. And I mentioned it in the last one too, but you know, I saw that TikTok of that girl who was wearing her pollera from Peru, and it was beautiful, you know, and I think that's what we need to do. I think that's part of what it means to be radically accepting of yourself, to go back to be able to wear your authentic clothing and do it because there are also people living through you and experiencing life for the first time in this way. You know, our ancestors are experiencing life for the first time in this way. This is not something that they've been through. You know, they only got so far and they did so much for us to get to this point, but you know, there's so much that was left for them to do. So the fact that we get to do it now is pretty impressive and something I don't take lightly either, because I think it's a very important thing to remember. And I think a lot of us forget. I think that's like this is where for me it becomes very spiritual and less like more informative. Yes, informative, but like a little less like scholarly. For me, it's a very like deeper, and that's what it is, you know, this study of life. It's about understanding that. So yeah. so that's kind of my two cents on Ekwa. I had a beautiful time. I wish I hadn't gotten sick the way that I did, but I did. So it is what it is. We're here now. I'm super sad again that I deleted my content. And that was actually like the worst. I really was so like just my heart just like honestly stopped beating. I was like, okay, I feel like it's not worth getting upset now because it's done. Like there's nothing that can be done anymore. But I was definitely, I felt like such a butthead, honestly. I felt like such a butthead. But anyway, so that was my Ekwa trip. Had a beautiful time. I miss her already. I miss the motherland. I miss just being able to spend time in nature in a different way. And the worst part is that I feel like I didn't either because I was sick for the most part. So I wasn't going to be outside where it's cold. So it just was a hot mess on its own. But I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? I think this is what was necessary, what was needed for me personally. I just needed to like chill, you know, just be zen and chill out and enjoy my time just being in the presence of the motherland. So it was beautiful. Again, I got back to New York. As soon as I landed, I was like, the vibe is so different here. Like, I don't know. But it was calm it was also New Year's Day. I highly recommend people travel on New Year's Day. There wasn't that many people, but also I just think the vibe was different. Like people had probably just gone out the night before. But yeah, I got back the first day of the new year back in New York and I've been here since. There's nowhere else I'm going. Yo, I really wish that I was going to Paucaraimi. Oh my God. I'm not going to lie. That's one that I need to plan for next year. I'm going because I need to experience all four celebrations in the motherland. And I think that's this is important for me. Like it's part of my research and I really want to be able to be engulfed in it. And I think just based off what I've learned from Paucaraimi, and it's really cute because actually my mom told me such a cute story yesterday too about her experience with it. There are men who are, this is where I need to also figure out a little more, but there are men who come as like pretendientes, like guys who are interested in a woman, and they go to her house and they have like a little mini bombo And then they also have this really big hat that it's like a sombrero. It's huge. And some of them are shaped in the shape of a condor. Some of them have the head of a deer on it. So it's made of leather as well. The whole hat itself is with leather material on it. And you can see it pretty clearly when you look at it and you wear it. But it also has colorful strings that are hanging. And I can't remember if there's a specific amount of strings that need to be on it or of each color, because there's different colors. It's multicolor. But yeah, and it's beautiful. It's so gorgeous. And I'm like, shit, like it. Like, just all of that is so cute. But yeah, so my mom's story, super quickly, she mentioned that there were two men who came, and she could hear them when she was little and she was in the house. And she actually pointed it to me. She showed me a picture of it because I've been there before, but she was just kind of showing me like where exactly she was in the house. She told me she was inside and she heard them like coming, and she could see them from far away. And she said they looked really scary to her when she was little. And her and I think her sibling like ran away to hide, like kind of like in the furthest corner of the house because she got scared. But that meant that they were coming like to see one of the women that were living in her home. So I thought that was a really cute story. And yeah, I mean, you're basically finding your man there, like you're having fun. But you're also being visited by spirits that give you a sense of honor and pride and feeling good about yourself. But it's also a time where you're trying to conquistar a mujer. So very cute. I love it. And it's what they call carnaval. So it's very interesting for me to also now be able to see things very differently based off what I'm starting to read and just more of the knowledge I'm trying to get. But it's a lot. It's a lot of information that I'm trying to absorb. But, you know, I try to remind myself, take it one day at a time. Koya, where are you? My cat, sorry. Taking it one day at a time and just trying to, you know, pace myself. So that's also part of what's happening next. In this phase, I'm going to, like I said, start to plan out how I want to roll out these videos, how I want them to come out. I also have to touch bases with Los Herederos anyways and ask them, you know, how they want it, how I should upload it, what I should do with it, and what to do moving forward. Because I do have a lot of interviews and I want to be able to get the stuff out to each person so they have that. And yeah, and anyways, because I know that that's something that I talked to New Kanchi Kausai about, too. They really wanted to have access to the footage. And I was like, yes, of course. Like, you know, you can definitely use it. Like, use it for anything you feel like is necessary for you guys. So, yeah. And I did it very simply, too, the way I shot it. It's just everybody in the frame. And some people leave, like, at different people's interviews. Sometimes there's less people. Sometimes there's a little more. And I shot it that way just because I felt like it made sense and they all wanted to be part of each other's interview and not have it be like singular, because I feel like that also would have came about naturally if that's something they wanted to. So they didn't. They all sat together in the living room and I just recorded all of them as each person did the interview. So essentially the same frame the whole time, but just different people talking, sometimes less people, like I said. So yeah, so beautiful trip. Thank you so much to Pachamama for being able to give me the opportunity. I ended up buying my coworker's cups too, like mugs for the office. And my one coworker had it on her desk. And I was like, that's so cute. Stop. And she likes like girly. She's very like girly pop. And I'm like, I know what color you would like. So I got her a really nice purple one. She was like, wow, the colors are gorgeous. And I was like, oh my God. I try not to like fangirl about it because it's, you know, when you're sharing yourself that way, you always hope people will receive it and appreciate it. So yeah, so I felt like she did. So yeah, moving forward, what am I doing now? I'm gonna focus on doing, like I said, the videos, the editing, and then I'm also taking a Quechua class. So I'm actually going to that today, which is Saturday, January 11th. I'm going to my first Quechua class. And the class originally started at the first Saturday of this year. I wasn't able to make that one, but now I'm going to go to this one. And I'm excited because we were supposed to write a poem. Oh, my God. And it's a hot mess. That first poem was not it. I'm not going to lie. So I'm just going to go into it and like have her help me break things down. But I did end up making some cards, some flashcards to test myself with the vocabulary, which was really nice, too. That was actually really smart of me. Personally, I really love flashcards and post-it notes because they're such a good way of like being able to jot. Like, I feel like my brain works like that, so I have to make it work for me. But yeah, so I tried to make a poem, but it didn't make sense. I think the only parts of the poem is really the beginning that makes sense. So Hawa Pacha means world of above. So it's Hawa Pacha Uku Pacha. And Hawa Pacha is world of above. Uku Pacha is world of below. So it's world of above, world of below. And then in English, I say, where do I find you? The moon guides me. I'm going to read you the English version actually in full. But I started writing the poem in Quechua actually because I wanted to use Hawa Pacha and Uku Pacha. So I said, so in English it would be world of above, world of below, where do I find you? The moon guides me through the fog, I feel you from a distance. In your casa de adobe, I wait for you, I will tell you my story. So we were supposed to also write about the Raimi that's coming up, the celebration. Pauka Raimi. So I didn't really, but I ended up writing one last night in English that I could definitely share. I'll just share a small part of it because I think the second half is actually my favorite. Okay, so this is what I said. This is technically the second part to this poem, which I will eventually also put out there. I also want to start posting the actual poem itself along with images. So that's also a thing that's coming and that's in the works. Like, I'm going to be like making like a visual poem or making the poem come to life in a different way. So I'm excited for that because that's something I've never done. And I feel like, I don't know, something about it gives me like, it makes me super giggly and excited. So this is the second half of that poem. Let me just read it. And the land sung to their beating drums or hearts, whichever they pleased. But the pleasure was all mine. I waited for their blessing. And so it was. So it would be. We danced to their heartbeats into our eternal dream. And I also mentioned this eternal dream. I mentioned the eternal dream also in one of my other poems that I have up on my highlight. And that one, for me, it's funny because I ended up putting it in ChatGPT just to see what it would say. And I was like, okay, very interesting stuff. So I did that. And it said something about the eternal dream being like after, like post-death. And it's not really that. The eternal dream for me is more like going back to source. Like when you go to sleep, I feel like that's where you go to connect with this other source where we can tap into something a lot larger in a very unique way as well. So that's just how I kind of feel about the eternal dream. It's not necessarily death, but I think it's really interesting. I'm very curious to see how other people also read the poems and what they mean to them. And I think that's something I've always really enjoyed about creating work is seeing how other people also perceive and receive the information, receive the image, receive the thing that I'm creating. So I think that'll be interesting for me to see how my poem goes for class. But I really need help because honestly, like, I tried to do like a translation in ChatGPT also, and I feel like a lot of it doesn't make sense. I'm kind of like, okay, it's translated very literally, and that's not what I wanted. I wanted in a more poetic way, and I think that's where I'm getting a little confused. So I'm gonna try my best to actually just switch in words. Like, I'll do a mixture of, so instead of like Spanglish, it's whatchamacallit, Kanyari-ish English. Kanyari English. Yeah, so using words. Honestly, using all three languages, that's really what I want. And I think that's where my work is going to eventually develop into like more of like a three-layer a three-layer cake, you know, like really just there's a lot to digest there and a lot to understand. And I feel like it's almost like little Easter egg hunts also, where I leave a bit of myself in each word that I find in Quechua, and hope that people also, like, it inspires people to also look into it further or remember. You know, a lot of, I think, this work and everything I've been doing so far has been about remembering what things mean to me, why I'm doing this, what my purpose is. And I wanted to actually share my why, and I hope this is helpful. A lot of why I'm doing this project is because I grew up in an environment when I was younger where there was predominantly white people and there was a handful of people of color, literally a handful. And it was just really difficult to grow up in a home where my dad was playing Andean music, like all the time. And something I grew up around, and then going to another environment where I didn't feel like I even fit in to begin with, because I barely saw any representation of myself, anybody who looked like me. And it was a really bad mixture and a really bad it was a recipe for a lot of long-term shame that had to be overcome and worked through significantly. A lot of undoing, unlearning, and on your own time, you know. And that's something that I never had help with, but I feel like I've found ways to cope, and I found ways to help myself get out of situations like that. And I'm very grateful. I don't know how I did it, to be honest, because I really look back now and I'm like, that's like, it's so far away at this point that it's different. Like I see it and understand it very differently, in a very like, yes, it kind of just happened, but you know, that's not the end of my story. But I also do feel like it was a lot for a younger person to have to endure and understand and try to understand. I think it forced me to also grow up a lot faster than I would have liked to, just because of the simple fact that I had to learn to understand who I was, and becoming isolated and feeling isolated. Really, it's that. It's feeling isolated, because even if I wasn't, like, it's still the fact that I felt it. And I think that that's something that's really difficult and worth understanding, and people don't get that. And my fear is that people who have children will also, you know, continue the same thing. We lose our culture. We lose who we are. So my goal and my why is because I remember what it was like to be at a point in my life where I felt like I wasn't worth anything, and I didn't feel like I was worthy, that I was valuable, that I was cool, that I was hip, that I was whatever I wanted to be at that age. Like, I had so many amazing things to offer the world from such a young age, and I never embraced it because I felt like it just didn't matter and people didn't get it. And that's really what it was. I felt like people didn't get it. So I'm like, okay, if people don't get it, then it's weird. And then I look weird, and then I feel bad, and I don't want to be weird, and I don't want to feel bad. So I'm going to rechazar who I am, you know, and that's really what happens. I feel like that's really the process of forgetting and forcing yourself to forget. I wrote something like that too, actually, on my story. Just, it was very short, but it's a really nice mini poem that I really like, that I wrote down. And it said, who taught you shame? Who forced you to forget? And it's a very fundamental question to this project. I'm so happy that I wrote it down, because I honestly would have forgot. But yeah, who taught you shame, and who forced you to forget? And I was going to say, who taught you to forget? But really, it's a forcing. It's society. It's the one that we live in here in America that forces you to feel like you cannot be who you are, and you cannot express yourself in these ways because they're not understandable to the mainstream. People can't comprehend it. People don't get it. People think it's weird. So that mentality really, you know, stayed with me up until I was like maybe 18, 19. And I think it was around like being 19, because I think I was 19 or something. But I remember the first time I really became more aware of myself, more aware of who I was, and you know, what my, where my roots were, where they lied, and where I was from and who I am. That started when I was probably 19. And I remember being in Ecua, and we had gone to a different part of Ecuador. So we weren't even near like Cuenca or anywhere near Cañar. And we were going up this mountain. I just remember thinking, like, I was standing on top of the mountain, just kind of like overlooking the landscape. And I just was like, holy shit, like, this is where I'm from. Like, this is where we're from. Like, this is where my family's from. Like, this land, like, is where they came from. And it was a very surreal moment. And I just remember thinking, like, this is really special. And, you know, it, like, it finally clicked for me. That was the first time it ever really clicked for me that I could feel, that I could feel pride and I could feel proud of my roots, because there was something to be prideful of. There was so much beauty that I saw in nature. And that's really all it was. It was my love and admiration for the way the landscape looked, for the way it changed, for the way that it helped us, it helped nurture us. Like, all of that, all of those feelings really hit me and made sense to me around that time. And I think that was also around the time that I then went to Cuba or something like that, or I think I had already gone to Cuba. I'm not sure if which way it goes. I think Cuba came after, but yeah, it was a beautiful time just being there and being able to absorb that moment in that way. And I think I was exploring my poetry more at that time and sharing it actually online. So that was when on my Instagram, so that was very like early Amy's, early artist, maybe Amy. I don't even know what that word means, to be honest. I don't like that word. But yeah, so I just started creating stuff. And poetry was part of that. And I was adding it to my posts on whenever I would post something, like a photography pic, because I was taking photos at that time too. I got a camera. Like, that was the time that I got my camera. Like, there was just a whole switch for me. And I think for me to now have gone from that moment to where I'm at today and seeing the growth from when I was little, when I was literally a child, to go from that to feeling so much shame and hate and feeling so disgusted with myself. And that's, it's a very strong word, but that is as genuine as it could possibly be. Like, there is no other word for what I used to feel. And it used to feel like that. It used to feel like I was disgusted with myself and I didn't want to see myself. And I literally, like I didn't even want to look in a mirror because I just hated the way that I looked, because I felt like I wasn't like blonde, skinny, and white, like, you know. And that shit is really impactful. And the media also didn't help. So the fact that we have more representation of individuals, but we definitely need a lot more indigenous representation just across the board, like not even just from Ecuador, but just in general, but also in Ecuador too, like the advertisements and shit. Like, there's a lot more representation, I think, than there was. But I think a lot of it is still very whitewashed. And it's very white presenting. So I think we need to really switch it up, because that's a whole hot mess on its own that we could talk about. But yeah, so that stuff really impacted me when I was young. And, you know, I think being first gen too, you don't really have somebody to help guide you through these really difficult conversations, through these difficult experiences. So that's why for me, like, I also want to share, you know, my experiences, because I hope that people will, you know, remember it and also change the way that they view themselves within the diaspora, the way they view their language, their culture, and who they are, especially being in the States. And I had this conversation before too, when I was doing an interview, and it's a completely separate interview, but I said to them too, you know, it's really difficult, I think, for people to maintain, people feel like they need to neglect themselves. And when they come here to America, I feel like you quickly realize, like, yes, there are like its own like mini communities inside of the community, but it's very different. And I feel like you do end up having to assimilate a lot. And it's I hesitate because there's less of it now than there was before. So it is very much different. But I do feel like that was something that was not always, you know, like, I don't know. I guess seen as valuable. And maybe that's just me, like, projecting. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, that's how I really felt at the time. And I'm just really grateful that I can now sit here comfortably in myself and understand who I am, understand what my father, who my father is, who my mother is, who my grandmother is, who my grandpa is on both ends, who my great-grandparents are. That's what I've been doing the past couple of years in general, is just trying to understand, like, where I sit in all of our history and our family tree. And, you know, I invite you guys to do the same. You know, talk to your parents, talk to your mom, talk to your dad, ask them about real shit, because honestly, they've been through real shit. Like, there's no other individual probably in your life besides, like, honestly, like, our parents have gone through so much. Our grandparents have gone through so much. Our great-grandparents have gone through so much. You know, I think about it, and my grandma was really the last generation to see haciendas, you know, to see, large farms, plantations, you know, and indigenous people worked on them and got nothing in return, didn't get paid for their work or their labor. You know, they just hoped that they would get a piece of that land eventually. And a lot of them did, which is great. But a lot of people also got shitty land. Not shitty land, but like land that you can't really cultivate on and you can't really grow stuff on. So I don't know. I'm feeling a lot of things about where I'm at now. But I'm really looking forward to seeing where my journey goes moving forward and learning more Quechua. And I'm also just, like I said, really proud of myself for having gotten to this point, because it took such a long time. And I used to pray for days where I would be here, like that I would finally feel good about myself, good about how I represent myself and who I am and just what I was born with, you know. And I'm really grateful for all of that and for getting to this point. As much as I wish I hadn't gone through all of those terrible things and all of those terrible feelings as a child, looking back now in hindsight, I give myself, my inner child, the biggest hug, because we really did that shit. Like, I look at it, I'm like, I really did that. I really, like, dug myself out of those trenches and found ways and tried to find help and tried to find solace and companionship and words and in books and just all of that helped me in music. And music was such an important part. Music, writing, and reading have always been like the three main things in my life that I cannot live without, and they really helped me when I was younger. I felt like I was able to escape in these books, and also when I would write, I felt like I could understand myself. And I have so many, like, pieces of old writing that I have from, like, so long ago. But I don't know if I can read them, or I don't know. It's so young. It's such young work. But some of it is pretty good, though. Like, some of it is cool. But the other stuff is kind of, like, I don't know. But, yeah, anyways. So I'm looking forward, again, to learning more Quechua. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. I'm just excited to put my work together and show the world just how beautiful Kanyeri culture is, just how beautiful our music is, and just the way, just that feeling. Like, that's the feeling I'm trying to evoke, the feeling that I have. Like, I want people to experience that when they see this footage and when they see this work. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it's going to turn out. And I'm looking forward to meeting new people as well this year, like just making new friends, collabing in different ways, and you know, just trying to build more community. That's really what I'm focused on too. I really want to make, I'm inspired by the Saruso event, which is Saruguros in the USA, where they host, I think it's yearly, and they pick a reina, and they have a celebration, and they dance, and it's beautiful, and I'm really inspired by that. Like, I hope to see, like, a Kanyeri version of that. Kanyeri's New York. I ended up, oh my god, yes, if you're on Facebook, please look up Kanyeri's New York and join the Facebook pages. If you are from Kanyar, if you have family that's Kanyeri, If you want to learn more about Kanyani culture, please, please add the like the page, because I'm trying to build some momentum with it. Because I really, really want, I want to see like how many Kanyaris in New York there are. So, you know, let's see. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, I needed to put that out there. What else am I excited for? That's pretty much it. That's all I'm excited for. I think that's all I can say at this point. There's nothing left to say. I'm excited. I hope you're excited for the work that will come out. Definitely more poetry. I think just in general, just more of my work in a way that I haven't presented myself just yet. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this mini Equa series. If you have questions, you know, feel free to reach out. You can ask me. And yeah, I'm always open to collaborating, trying to do more like work with other artists. So yeah, let's see how it goes. Let's see how things grow. And I hope you guys are having a wonderful start to your year. Make a wish. It's 111 today. 111-25. So make a wish. And yeah, keep dreaming. Keep striving for whatever it is you're looking to do in your life. And I will see you guys in the next entry. Bye.